go for it, Arkid.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to this episode of the Flats and Shanks podcast. I'm the first one, Flats, and he's the second one.
I'm number two, Shanks.
Who do you work for, number two? We went on rugby to, I don't know if I mentioned that, I used to play for England for a long England career. My first tour was in 2000, my last tour was in 2010, so that's a decade in the England team.
Long time.
Technically didn't really play many games, but we went to Australia, New Zealand, and they were like, right, there's no them and us, yeah? It's no them and us. But the first team's on this coach and the other team's on this coach. And you basically can't train together every day, can you? But we had an MC on each bus, and Haskell was the MC for the test team, number one, and I was MC for the second team, number two. So he was number one for the whole tour and I was number two. And we still have absolute lads bants and call each other number one, number two when we see each other.
What year was that?
2010. It's just, people think I retired 20 years ago. I didn't. I retired basically about 18 months ago, a bit longer than that.
I didn't think he was playing in 2010.
Yeah, boy. He was there. He was there knocking people about. That was a good tour, actually. Jono basically said to me, Jono was the boss, he basically said to me, how's your body? I said, not great. Yeah. I won't use the rude word because we don't swear on our podcast. How goosed is it? And I said, not completely, but yeah. He's like, all right, well, if Tim Payne twists an ankle, you can start. Otherwise, we'll keep you in the twos, yeah? I said, good idea, mate. And then played the first A game against James O'Connor was playing, and everyone was like, there's this young kid they reckon's good. He's a midget. Let's get into him. And he scored a hat trick and they took him off. And
where's he now then, mate? Where's he now?
Exactly. Came off and Jono was just, I played 80 minutes. Jono was just laughing at me when I walked back into the changing room. He was just laughing. He said, how are the lungs, mate? I said, leave it out, mate. Leave it out. Yeah. Anyway, the last hurrah. So, yeah. Anyway, there you go.
Yeah. There's why you're called number two.
That's it.
For all the wrong reasons.
For all the thong reasons. Look, how are you? How's your, first of all, let's ask the rugby question. How's your body, fella?
Good, good. I think I got over rower's arm, mate. I think it was my technique. Yeah, so I'm back.
I was worried about that. Yeah, but you still got a pull.
Yeah, but it's a pull right at the end. Use your legs. Keep your arms straight until the last minute, and then you have a little pull.
Mm.
Sometimes you have a cheap pull. You know that, when you've got 2 seconds left.
Of course you do.
But body's all right. Body's all right. Golfing later today, so.
Oh, Tommy!
Pretty much the best day of my life.
I knew you were golfing this afternoon because you told me the day. So it's Monday morning here, folks. I was going to send you a text because I know you go to bed before I do at night because you're a bit square and I'm kind of mad. And I was going to send you a text saying, "Any chance can move pod to 2 or 3 p.m. Cheers, boy." Just because I thought. You wake up and you'd be like, ugh! But I thought you'll be up 2 hours before me stewing on that. So I knew you wouldn't want to interrupt your golf. And I wouldn't ask this podcast to come before your golf now. I wouldn't.
No, you wouldn't. You know how mad I get. But I'm up before six, mate. So I turn my phone off, though. I don't often go to sleep, but I turn my phone off to switch off mentally. You're still going through texts and tweeting about how great Meryl Streep's character is in Big Little Lies 2. God,
yeah.
You know, I watched 1917 last night.
Oh,
that's why I turned my phone off, because I wanted to enjoy it.
What a film. That's so good that you turn your phone off for movies. I don't do that. We'll talk about that in a second. That's a really good little skill.
Well, I turn it off a lot. After about sort of 7, 8 o'clock, I put it on night mode, and only certain people, sort of texts
me.
or calls will come through. And I'll check it now and again, but I wanted to enjoy the film. I heard a lot about it. I thought it was excellent. Excellent.
How good
film.
Is that?
Yeah. And the way that Sam Mendes has managed to make out like it's just one long shot is brilliant. I mean, I know Birdman was like that as well, the film Birdman, but I've not seen that. But this, I thought it was amazing. Amazing film, how it just seems like, you know, there's no retakes, there's no cuts, it's just acting all the way through, like EastEnders Live.
Yeah, it's just exactly like that. But also, I loved the fact that they weren't rock star actors in it. Because, you know, like if you put, like, you know, Brad Pitt in there, he could have done as good a job as anyone else in the world or whatever, but I quite like the fact that these were meant to be two normal blokes.
Yeah.
And it's not hard to put yourself there because...
And sometimes when you get like a lead role, it all becomes about the actor, you know, like a Tom Hardy or an Al Pacino, you know, you're just engrossed in their character and the way they act and how good they are. But yeah, you're right. These two are great actors, the main two characters in it. Blake and Will Schofield, I think it was.
Yeah,
phenomenal. And then, but you've also got some great actors in it as well, haven't you, all the way through? So
I can't remember.
Yeah.
My memory's terrible, mate. We'll talk about that in a sec as well.
Mark Strong is in it for a little bit. Benedict Cumberbatch is in it.
Would you call me?
Yeah. It's good. I really enjoyed it, though. Worth a watch.
That's great.
The only bad thing is it cost me a bit of money. It cost me like 13 quid because I really wanted to watch it. It's not out to rent yet on Sky, so I had to buy to keep. You know, they get you. They're clever, crafty. I've got so many of them. That. I just couldn't be bothered to wait another week. I really wanted to watch it last night. Had my heart set on it. And I just thought, oh, I'll just do
but
it.
But it's all about perspective, isn't it? Cause like if you and I, like if we went to do our pod at the services, you know, Costa or something, and it was like, oh, do you want a toaster? Yeah, go on then. Do you want a cortado? Go on then. And it was like, whatever, you have get a couple of sarnies, bottle of water and a coffee, and it's like, £14, please. There you go, chief.
What?
Ding. But you go to watch an epic movie that at home, you're like, no, that is £5.99. I'm not paying that. That is a joke.
It's the same with you with Succession. On at you for ages and ages to watch it. Like, nah, I can't afford it. Can't afford £19.99. It's like, wow. Sell one of your sovereign rings. Sell your earring. Whatever. No, not having it. Not having it. And then you bought it and you think, actually... amazing.
I've made a very large purchase actually, which I wasn't going to tell you about, but now I am.
Another holiday home.
But first of all, let's talk about my memory. I have very real issues with my memory. Like, I just can't remember short-term stuff, not at all. But every single day, my memory causes me a problem. I thought about it last week, and I think it's 7 days in the last seven it has caused me to forget something that I was meant to do or say or call or something.
That's what diaries are for. Everyone's got a bad memory. But I tell you what else was in it, off the top of my head, was Colin Firth, Richard Madden. He was also in 1917.
Can't remember.
Richard Madden was his brother at the end, plays the bodyguard.
Yes, didn't rate The Bodyguard at all, as you know,
yeah,
controversially.
And Andrew Scott, who plays Moriarty, he was also in it.
Memory.
Well, I just Googled 1917 to remind me.
You're good. I love that film. I thought it was a brilliant film.
Hmm. Anyway, so your memory is bad.
I think it is. I can't remember. No, it is terrible. It is absolutely terrible. So it's literally like... You know, everyone walks into a room and forgets what they've gone in for. I realise that people forget things, and hopefully that is just me. But honestly, like, it's, can you make sure you get this from the shop? Yeah. What do I need to do to remind you to get this from the shop? Oh, it's fine. It's in my mind now. 30 seconds later, walking out the door, what are you getting from the shop? No idea. Getting this. Okay, got it. Milk and that. That's the only thing I'm getting. Get to the shop. Doesn't cross my mind to get anything except milk. Then it's like, watch a film last night, and it's like, and... So I got asked the question yesterday, just as it's like a kind of running joke now. What did we have for dinner last night? I'm like,
yeah, everyone struggles with that though.
Hello, no. Do they?
Yeah.
So I couldn't recall what we had for dinner.
I think a lot of it is concentration levels as well. You know, you could be being told to do something and it's sort of going in, but you're not really processing it. You've got to think about it a little bit. And that's why you should write stuff down on your phone, in your notes, or write it on a bit of paper. Yeah. Because everyone's got poor short-term memory. Not everyone, but
that's good.
It's not that bad, mate, because you're pretty good at memorizing lines, you're pretty good at looking at scripts and remembering them, you know, for the links you got to do to TV. So, you know, if that was the problem, then I'd probably put you down, call a vet, get him around.
That is true. No, you made me feel better about that. Shall I tell you about my massive purchase?
Yeah.
So Sarah Churchy, the lady you and I are kind of, in brackets, sort of talking to about some work stuff. She put on, we had a chat on the phone the other day, And I said, I've got to go because I've got to, something like that. I've got to do the vacuuming. And I've got a Henry. And I hate my Henry so much, you can't believe it. And she's like, oh my God, I hate mine as well.
We've gone through this, by the way.
Yeah, oh, there you go, memory. So anyway, I have just gone absolutely bloody mad and bought a new Dyson. And new Dysons cost more than new houses or cars.
Yeah, you've told us this.
Have I?
Yeah. You told us you bought a new Henry, a new Hoover. I said I got a Henry. You said that I don't know any
better. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah.
You see what I mean? I'm not doing any other podcast, no, mate. But, it's just this one. Anyway, used it yesterday. Arrived yesterday.
But maybe it's just because you haven't got much else going on in your life, mate, at the moment. So
yeah, maybe.
You forget what we talked about. I mean, could have told the
but
same story.
It's really good. I used it.
Yeah?
I used it and it was good. All right, should we leave it at that? Have you seen the clip on Twitter of the dad dancing for his baby and playing Mr. Freeze as the baby lies down?
No.
In his little cot?
No. You haven't talked about it. Have you seen the two toddlers drinking Lucozade? I think it's the funniest thing in the world.
Oh, it's classic, yeah.
Yeah, that's going to be like me and you on our next night out.
It's like they're absolutely smashed, isn't it?
Yeah.
I can't wait. I just can't wait for two things. Kids to go back to school for their benefit, and a couple of pints.
Yeah.
Sitting at a table having a couple of pints that isn't in my house.
I'm a social drinker. I'm not a drinker. I'm not a home drinker, really. I have the odd glass, but I want to drink and socialise with my mates. So yeah. I might bring a couple of cans of Thatcher's or Guinness in the golf bag later today. You've got to play on your own, though. That's the only thing. But
oh, have you?
Yeah. Mate of mine's,
I didn't know that.
Mate of mine's teeing off behind me. So I can shout to him now and again. But he has to tee off behind me because he can't hit as long as me. So he's never going to...
Yeah.
He's never going to hit bombs at me. I'm never going to be in distance of getting hit by a ball.
Yeah, once you're more than 50 yards away. Wasn't there a golf match played on telly?
Yeah.
Without a crowd, and Rory McIlroy said something. Oh, you tweeted it. He said something funny about money or whatever.
Yeah, it was maybe, Rory McIlroy and Dustin Johnson versus, who was it, Matthew Wolff and Ricky Fowler in skins. So it's a money game. So if you draw the hole, it carries on to the next hole. It's sort of open for everyone. If you're not very good at golf, you could win a skin that's carried on from three or four holes and, you know, you'd be doing quite well. Anyway, I think Matthew Wolff, who's got this really funny golf swing. It's like a baseball swing. It's like the knee buckles in and then comes out. It's like he's swinging a baseball bat. Anyway, I think he's 20 years old. And he must have given Rory McIlroy a little bit of bounce over a four-footer putt. And obviously, McIlroy drains it, picks a ball out, and just looks at him and says, that's two FedEx Cups worth $25 million, youngster.
Very good.
Yeah, what else you meant to say to that?
Yeah, thank you. Can you lend me 50 quid, please? Yeah. It's like, it's a nice version of... Gordon Tallis, who played rugby league for the Brisbane Broncos.
Is that the greatest tackle ever?
Yes.
I can't remember who he tackles. Yeah.
It's in the Origin, I think, isn't it?
Yeah.
But he just drags him by his shirt and throws him over the touchline. But Gordon Tallis was like, it's almost like some people forget that he was such an awesome rugby player. He was just a brilliant player, but he was so violent that people forget. It's, you know, so that he was brilliant. But he, like towards the end of his career... There was a young, I think his name was Ben Ross. I could be wrong on that memory again, but it could be wrong on that. But he, someone said, he's basically this young buck was, he was coming towards the end and this young buck was coming through and he just said something to him. And Gordon Tallis just absolutely battered him, like UFC style, in the middle of the field. Can't condone that, obviously. Comes off, and basically has a press conference and it's like, mate, you know, now and again, you've got to make sure that people respect who you are, what you've achieved and where you've come from. So... sometimes people overstep the line and they have to be given boundaries.
Yeah.
And you're like, you can't talk to people like that. It's like, oh my God, he didn't even apologise. He's like, well, he said what he said and that's what happens with me. Like, I love it. And all the journos are like, well, he shouldn't have said it, should he?
I had to do it to my kids yesterday. All they wanted to do was go on their iPads. Chat them outside, filled them in. Said, don't tell your mum. respect my authority.
Yeah, cushion punches. Can we joke about that? I had a day yesterday, like an evening last night, where it was like, right, the kids, you look at them and you know, you just know your kids are completely exhausted. Like, your kids are knackered. They are completely knackered, and it is 5 p.m. And you're like, right, we've got to negotiate the next 3 or so hours till they go to bed.
Yeah.
We've got to negotiate that. It's got to, that involves a meal time, which is where they at their most emotional at times. So it's like, right, this is going to be tough. And we almost got there. We almost got there without one of them having a complete breakdown, but not quite. One of them fell apart. I got this big Lego project going on at the moment.
And build
building the Land Rover. Land Rover Defender. Of course I am.
Your poor kids.
It's quite hard, actually. They love it. They love it. It was them that wanted to start. I was like, no, let's do it. And we got all day. No, I want to start it now.
Oh.
The only reason we came downstairs. I was like, well, no, I told you to come downstairs. Yeah, the only reason we came down is to do Lego. Fine. Be nice and we'll start the Lego. Okay, please, can we start the Lego? Yeah. Do 2 pages each, because you can't do it together.
Yeah.
Do 2 pages each and then back off. And kid one, Peanut Head, got to the end of her 2 pages and didn't want to stop. And then bang, explosion. Hilarious, mate. It's like they're on emotional remote control.
Yeah.
But school would be good. School would be good now.
Yeah, yeah. No,
I'd like that.
I totally agree. We've got a guest who's going to come on in a little bit, Flats. Mike Bubbins now. You might not have heard too much about him. A Welsh actor, a Welsh comedian. Played a little bit of rugby, mate. So loved his weights as well. So you're going to have plenty to talk about. Yeah. I think he's got like a bar in his house and his garage. He's converted it into a 70s style pub. Yeah. Real funny, real dry. So we're going to get him on in about 5 minutes or so. See what he's been up to.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
He's got a really good pod out as well. I won't explain too much. I'll let him explain, really. I like
the clip you sent me, the bike one.
The tourist trap. So I did. I went on there and I had to do a little cameo role, and he was on there as well. So yeah, he's really funny. I will have to put that tweet up a little bit later on, just so you guys see what he's like. But yeah, really good.
But so, his bar is cool. Like, yeah. It's not, because it's not trying to be trendy. It is.
Yeah.
He's got Elvis Presley cutouts, horrible bar stools, loads of booze, a Pirelli calendar.
Yeah.
It's proper old school. It's proper old school.
Loves the Green Bay Packers as well. Yeah.
Oh, does he? He's an American football guy, is he?
Yeah, I think so.
That's good. But he's also got. He also probably doesn't like blokes like you and me, because we're doing part-time moustaches, but he's full-time.
Oh, mate, he's handlebar as well.
But yeah, he's full-time Hank.
He's done some strange stuff. He's done the unexplained with Eggsy, who's from Goldie Looking Chain. They're going around looking for ghosts. It's a bit like a Welsh version of Danny Dyer going ghost hunting.
My kids love their song, Your Mother's Got a Penis. I heard it on my phone, and it's one of their favourites now. So now when they're doing Spotify in the back of the car, I just hear that start and I'm like, ding, 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 ding. I'm like, oh no, girls.
Mine's got a fascination with sex on the beach. We were on a holiday last year and they could see signs all in the bars, you know, advertising the cocktail, sex on the beach. And they're giggling every time. And they made me order one. A lady came over and said, excuse me, can I have sex on the beach, please? And I look across at this. It's hilarious. Even I find it a little bit funny, but
that's great.
Yeah, right.
It's great.
Shall we get Mike on the phone?
Yeah, because I want to talk about his look as well. Because he's from another time, isn't he?
Mm. Yeah. I mean, I'm not actually sure of his age. I'm guessing 65.
Well, I think he's 45 or 46, but you think he looks a lot older.
No, I think he grew up in the 70s. That's why he's got a fascination with it.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
I think you're right. Mike, brilliant to have you on the podcast. We won't go through the half hour of technical chat we've been coaching you through. But
people don't need to know, do they?
No, they don't.
It's good chat, though. Solid chat, wasn't it?
We'll keep that between us.
Yeah, decent.
But Mike, what would you call yourself, mate? Would you call yourself an actor, a comedian, a Dick Van Dyke,
entertainer,
a weightlifter?
Entertainer's good, isn't it?
A drinker?
I mean, I think Flat has nailed it there. I mean, all those other things I've done in the pursuit of entertainment. So whether it's drinking, lifting weights, playing rugby, teaching, writing, acting, It's just a probably my insecurities. It's just a craving attention, really. Whatever I've done.
You've just done it for a laugh, like.
Yeah, I just want recognition, really.
Yeah, and I think that's all right if you admit that. If you just admit you're attention seeking, it's fine. Like, if someone ever insults me and says, "Why are you such an attention seeker?" I say, "I was born like that."
Exactly. Yeah.
I got nothing left for you.
I'm a weak person. I don't know what it is. Like, I think I'd like to say that I had a bad childhood, but I didn't have one. My dad's very like me. That's a problem. I think Tom knows my dad. My dad's growing up in my household in the 70s and the 80s. It was a constant battle for airspace against my old man.
Yeah, and he also sports a lovely moustache as well. I mean, you can't see us, Mike, but
no. It's a pity, really.
Flats has got a great little tash going on.
I've seen it. Well, you're
mine's a little bit more Spanish, Mexican.
You're strawberry blonde, though, Shanks, aren't you? So,
yeah, when I grow it, it's strawberry blonde. But mine's a bit more dirty. Mine's a bit more dirty. I look like some sort of gangster.
Shanks's looks a bit wrong. Like a bit sort of legally ominous, I'd say.
Yeah, the sort of thing that you see a photograph and the line underneath would say, "Before turning the gun on himself."
Sort of yes, and finally, topically, that is that's a real worry for Tom's close friends at the moment. I want to know this. I want to know about your. What's the best way to say this? The 70s vibe that seems to sum you up very nicely. The clothes you wear, the look you go for, having your house made to look like the set of Space 99, driving a...
Yeah, yeah.
I want to know about that, but I primarily want to know about the 1973 Cortina Mark III 2000E.
Proper stalking with that stuff. Yes.
I love that stuff.
At the moment, flats, it's off the road. I took it up to a place in Penarth to get... which is places outside Cardiff, to finish the restoration off on it. And then lockdown started. At the moment, it's off the road. It's locked up. I can't get to it. But, yeah, 1973...
So is that the five-door, is it? Not the three-door super speed?
It's the five-door, but what I've done is I've had a tobacco vinyl, brown tobacco vinyl roof put back on. Tobacco brown vinyl interior and dash.
Oh.
With tobacco brown carpets.
Wow.
And the original white Ford colour scheme. On the paintwork, so it's a piece of work that.
Oh, wow.
The Space 999 thing, my sister saw a photograph of my house on, she lives in the States, and I'm like a messenger thing. I said, "Oh my God, your house looks like Space 1999. I said, "That is one of the nicest things you've ever said to me." I like the TV, I love the TV from that time, I love the cinema, I love the look, I love the music, I just love it, I love the smells, you know.
My flares.
Cabinet. I love flares. I'm one of the few people in the world that can probably get away with brown corduroy paisley flares, which I wear.
No, you can't, mate. You can't.
it might only be you and me that think you can get away with it, to be honest, mate. How do you get stuff to... Because I've done, if you fancy dress, whenever you get a fancy dress with Shanks, he's always the best dressed. So I've tried to do well on 70s themes every now and again. Or a bit of Elvis or whatever, and I can't get anything to fit. And you're a big bloke, so how do you get clothes to fit you from the 70s?
No, the key is, Flats, is America, okay? Because you and I would be, we'd be borderline anorexic in most of the USA. So, it's not a problem. I mean, I get more stuff sent over from there, so my paisley shirts and my jeans and my flares, I just get them sent over from the US.
A lot of FUBU stuff come in the post, does it?
That's the one, you got it. Yeah. The other thing to do is to go to places where there'd have been wealth. I think 70s fashion, if you go secondhand shops, the problem is that 70s people, if you watch the videos and the film from back in the day, they weren't big people, they were quite skinny. So unless you find like an affluent area, so I tend to go to sort of sometimes Cowbridge secondhand shops because people would have been fatter and better fed in the 70s.
Yeah, but also clothes you buy, Mike, you're going to, it's going to be something in the back of your head saying, someone's died in these. I'm wearing a dead person's clothes.
Though, isn't it? Is that a bad thing? I feel imbued with their personality sometimes as well.
Yeah, I mean, I know you're into all that unexplained stuff because you did a bit of a series with Eggsy from Goalie Looking Chain. Have you
We
ever seen a
did.
real ghost? Or
I don't know, Tom. I don't think I have.
have you ever been touched by a ghost?
I've been touched when I'm looking for a ghost. That's not the
Okay.
same thing.
Yeah.
I mean,
It's
Eggsy's
better. It's
into
a
all that
better
sort of
thing.
thing. Is it? We did five series on the radio and then one very disappointing television series. So I don't, yeah.
Disappointing for whom? For you or for
For
everyone that didn't
everyone, I
watch
think there
it?
was no winners really. It was
It's
it was an
loosely.
absolute shambles. Yeah.
Well, you say that's disappointing. I enjoyed it. But you also did a great TV series. I'm not sure if it's still continuing or not, but The Tourist Trap.
Oh yeah,
Now,
that was good fun to do that.
fantastic. I had to show Flats some of it. He's seen some of it, but I had to show him the little clip of you on the bike, which is just
That was brilliant.
it's comedy genius. I
Well,
mean, is that stuff pre-scripted, or are you just going off the flow there? You going off the cuff?
you came in and you did a brilliant. I'm not just saying it because you're on now, mate. But you came in and did a cameo, and you were superb. So you'll know that it's we get
A
like a
bloody
storyboard
riot.
for it. We get a storyboard for it, but there's no dialogue as such. You just sort of come up with it, which is nice. So we can just get on with it. They'll tell us what needs to happen at the start and how we need to end, and then everything else is up to us, really. So that was. So Mari, that I work with, play
Great.
my wife, was superb in it. Well, that
Yeah.
bit when I saw you, and they said, "Listen, the deal is that Wynne, who's my character, he sort of knows Shanks, but Shanks thinks he's a bit of an arsehole from back in the day." And if I can
That was
say that
easy to
word, I don't know.
play. That was easy to play.
So when we turned up on, yeah, so when I turned up on set, and I'd never met you before, and I sort of, I think I give you your arse a smack, and I kiss the top of your head, and give you a little hug, and then we took our seats in the scene, and
Yeah.
then the director said. How long have you known Tom? I said, I've never met Tom in my life. He just said, rugby boys are weird. I said, yeah, they are a bit weird.
They love to
They
be
are, yeah.
kissed.
So you played a lot of rugby, didn't you, in Wales and abroad? So
Yeah.
what's your rugby history briefly? I don't need it from under eights, mate, to be honest. I've got stuff to do today, but
Okay, if I got
you've got
off
an
under
attachment,
18,
haven't you?
so I. Yeah. So it was like decent level at senior school, so 18. So like I was in the Welsh school squad, and then I got sent off, and then I was in Welsh youth. I knackered that as well. So then I went played for a team called the Glamorgan Wanderers over here for a bit via sort of Cardiff Youth and Cardiff Under 21, and went to Canada. I just had a bit of a breakdown. Went to Canada. I told John Scott to F off about 10 times in a meeting, which was a really bad idea.
Yeah, I met him
I was
before.
19,
Lovely
so I went
bloke.
to. Yeah, he's a cracking fella. So I went to Canada for a bit, played rugby over there, really enjoyed it. Came back, went to UWIC, which is now Cardiff Met, and played there. Told some people there to F off, got dropped. Back to the Wanderers for a bit, and then I went to the West Country, and I played in like club rugby around Bath and down in Exeter and that. And so, yeah, it was good. I just love rugby. I've always loved it. I think physically I was pretty decent. I think mentally I was probably a liability to some teams. Yeah,
Were you a bit aggressive?
I don't think I was.
Where's your cut-off point with aggression? Yeah, you know.
I think I wasn't dirty. I don't think I was dirty. Do you know? I think I was. I do miss the old rough and tumble of the old days. I don't think I was. I wasn't a cheap shot artist, but I did like the old the nonsense. Yeah, but I don't think I was a. You know, I liked it to be. Well, I wasn't averse as a flanker to, you know, a knee in the kidneys and running off. But
Yeah, I mean, dead right. But
yeah.
as Gary Powell, the Welsh prop, said to me once, we've known each other a long time. He said, "A cheap shot's still a shot, boy. A cheap shot is still a shot. Shot's a shot."
Whoa, what a
He
thing
got
to
me.
live by.
I was getting off the floor once in a game, and I was just standing up from this rug, he just knee dropped me right on the point of the hip, and I was
Oh,
like, ah, is
lovely.
the, I reckon it's one of the most painful things that ever happened. I didn't play for like 4 weeks after that, and
Well,
I
it
was like,
must have.
ah, and he looked at me, he said, "Still a shot, boy, still a shot."
Good
I
lad.
couldn't walk off the field. That had to help me off.
We played against
Lovely lad.
Treviso. We played against Treviso while I was in college at UWIC, and I got knocked out Sparkle for about 10 minutes by a flanker who looked like Dolph Lundgren's big brother. But the nice thing about that was we'd had a bit of a tangle earlier with him and I, and no one sort of wanted to have a go at him. So I took it upon myself. He was a lot bigger now than I was. And then apparently he walked into a line. I don't remember this because I was unconscious. Pushed the number eight who stood behind me out of the way, a bloke called Matthew Green, and said in broken English, which I think is stylish, but I didn't hear him say it, "Number six, your game is over." and then just gave me a haymaker from behind and nearly broke my jaw. But I think that the class to preempt that with that sentence says a lot about the Italians.
Yeah, I think so. I remember playing in a game, pre-season friendly, in inverted commas, against Agen. Shanks, don't know if you played in that. Yeah. We played in Agen twice pre-season, and both games got called off before the end. And that didn't happen a lot at sort of pro level, you know, as you know. It was just awful. It wasn't even fun. Like, it was so violent. So we stood up from one scrum, running off, heard something and turned around, and Roman Magellan, Shanks's mate, our prop, was just flat on his back, asleep. He had his nose broken and he'd been smacked with that from behind. You're like, this isn't fun anymore. So we're like, right, next time it kicks off, we are piling in. We're not having this anymore.
99.
So just after half time. Yeah, as soon as it kicked, I was with Stuart Hooper. We were both quite young fellas, and he's DOR at Bath now. And one of our players stupidly high-tackled one of theirs. It kicked off, and we just flew in. We flew in, throwing punches, lovely, getting chinned everywhere. And I hit Philippe Benetton, the back row, with a peach of a shot right in the forehead. And it did two things. It knocked him over, and it broke, quite badly broke my right hand.
Yeah.
And he stood up laughing, and I remained on the floor in agony and got taken off. And I was genuinely relieved to have broken my hand. I was quite relieved to get off there, because at some point you're going to get killed from behind. It was bloody horrible.
Well, me and this Italian dude had tangled earlier. The referee sort of came over and the bloke punched me in the nose, and the referee didn't send him off. I said, you're not going to send him off for that. He just punched him right in the... He said, any more lip off you, I'll send you off. I said, fair enough. So when I got knocked out cold, eventually, and it was days before HIA and stuff, so I had the smelling salt and sort of came around and got back on my feet like Bambi on ice. And the referee came over and said, are you okay? I went, have you sent him off yet? So I played the second half, but only on the proviso that he wasn't going to be back on.
So, promise.
You're into rugby.
I love rugby. Yeah.
When did your sort of break come, if you've had it yet?
I'm waiting for it, to be honest.
Into the world of comedy, of acting, of singing.
Well, I stopped playing. Funny enough, it was an injury. I mean, I was teaching PE, and I was playing for the Wanderers again. Just signed a contract, and Shanks and Flat-esque, I gave a bloke in a swinging arm. It was a bit of a naughty one. But as I hit a scrum half in the forehead with a swinging arm, and my
scrums bicep, are fine.
My bicep just attached and ended up under my shoulder. So he was whinging about it. I was on the floor in agony, and I couldn't play anymore. My arm was completely gone. So I was a bit of a lost end on a Saturday. So I started singing. I was going to the clubs doing a bit of singing. So I used to sing after rugby games and bits and bobs. And then from that, I ended up, I think I was watching The Office. I think back in the day, watching The Office, and there was the whole storyline about Tim and Dawn. And, you know, I've always been into comedy, never tried it. And I went along to a comedy writing workshop, and I got the wrong day, because I'm a bit of a tit when it comes to organising stuff. And it was a stand-up comedy workshop that week. I thought, I'll just go home. They said, you might as well stick around and do this. So I did a stand-up workshop, which I probably wouldn't have gone along to anyway.
And
I just really enjoyed it. And then I ended up doing stand-up and doing some open mics and doing a bit. And then I did Edinburgh fairly early on. And then on the back of that, started writing and doing other bits and bumps. Yeah, so it's just, I mean, I've never really planned anything, boys, to be honest. It's just sort of bouncing around from one thing to the next.
Just go with the flow. And have you also got a really good podcast out with Stephen Guerrero and Ellis James called, well, you tell us about it, Mike.
Right, this is, I mean, I've known Steph and Ellis for a long time, and we had an idea. I see Steph on the school run every day. We're kids in the same school.
He hasn't got kids.
What's that?
He hasn't got kids.
Just has he not? There was something of the night about it.
Explains a lot now, doesn't it? It all makes sense.
We talked about doing this because we bought this podcast for a long time. And then, of course, the lockdown happened and all the sports stopped. So we just thought we'd do it anyway. So rather than sort of cover the week's sports and funny things in sport that week, we just cover things in sport since whenever. You know, we each pick two YouTube clips a week. We each pick a documentary on a rotus, or every 3 weeks we pick a documentary. And then we just pick a book each, a sports book, and we just talk about that. And it was going to be fairly fairly sport based, but obviously Ellis is a comic, and I'm a comic of sorts. And then it just became a laugh quick, you know, early on. So we ended up going down weird little foxholes and talking about Lionel Blair and Bobby Devereaux and Kimbo Slice. Yeah. And
I mean, the best thing about it is you've actually got someone professional who knows exactly what they're doing when it comes to editing and when it comes to including the sound in. And yeah, Steph Guerrero.
Christ. I mean,
because we got nothing like that.
Steph's
on ours.
Good.
No. Well, Steph's
we got shanks.
You've got me online today, lads. But I mean, Stefan will happily, he's one of those people who really knows his sport, has done everything. When we speak to him, and he's been to Vegas and covered boxing and you know, football, rugby, he's done everything in his sports career. But he loves editing, and he loves doing all the tech side of things, and he loves putting things together and putting music on. He loves
it. You'd think, with all that he's done, you'd think he'd be a more interesting bloke to talk to, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
You would. But it is amazing. Fascinating.
Covering the Olympics, covering the World Cup. No.
Nothing.
Wants to talk us through, you know, his best edits.
Mike, what does your lockdown look like? Are you managing to stay strong, lean and fit? Are you doing any work?
I'm doing...
Or are you just watching Netflix and barbecuing?
Yeah, I've come up with this program I want called the 5K to Couch, which I've been doing now for 2 months. I started off quite fit and in shape, and now I look like a burst mattress after 2 months of lockdown. So, I don't do much of anything at the moment. I can't get motivated. I keep buying stuff on Amazon that I think I'm going to use. I bought like cross trainers and skipping ropes and boxing gloves and pads. And I just think, I think in my mind, I think as long as I'm keeping buying fitness stuff, I'm doing something about my fitness. But I don't use any of it. And my diet's gone to rat shit, really. I drink a lot of gin, so... I'm one of those
things are going really well for you.
It's going fabulously well. I keep having panic attacks and I can't sleep at night because I think I'm going to have a heart attack.
Do we need to keep an eye on you? Do we need to text you once every day or so to say how you doing?
If I don't answer the phone after 9 rings, just phone 999.
I tell you what was impressive though. You did a little drinking challenge online.
I
was impressed with that. And you weren't happy with your first go. So you came back for a second and it was even better.
I knocked a 4-seconder down. It was probably pushing 5 seconds the first time. I wasn't happy with that. I haven't done it for a long time.
I also admire you for not even adhering to left-handed drinking.
I refuse to do that Buffalo nonsense. That's created by, I think I said at the time, 6-pint pukers. They're not hardcore drinkers, right?
30-second merchants.
I'm not doing it. Yeah, that's what they are. 30-second merchants are 6-pint pukers. I'm not interested. So, Quinnell's a weaker man than me morally. So he did his pint. Someone pointed out the Buffalo thing to Scott. Rather than tell them where to put it, he caved in and did another left-handed pint shortly afterwards of like really strong cider. So that was impressive. And I thought, well, I can't leave it there. I can't leave it with a 5-second pint when Quinnell's knocked back 2 pints of cider.
No.
So
exactly.
I did a much more impressive one the second time round.
No.
It was good, actually. You couldn't chuck it on the floor a lot quicker than you did that, so I was very pleased for you.
No, I'm sorry.
I've got to the point with Buffalo where I'm so institutionalised that if I sit at home, not lads, it's drinking with my right hand now feels like writing with the wrong hand. I almost can't tip a can or a glass properly, so I drink everything left-handed. So during this chat now, I had a little coffee put down by somebody very kind on the right-hand side of my computer, and I just swap it to the left because I just can't pick things up with my right and drink them.
Oh, well, that's good. See, that's all right for you. It's like playing with yourself. I always use my left hand because when I was about 11 or 12, I didn't realise, I mean, this is days before sex ed was you know, much better these days, obviously. I didn't realise that a gentleman's pecker, you know, naturally... sort of hung one side or the other. And I thought I'd sort of damaged my willy by using the right hand. So I switched to left. I've never looked back, to be honest.
Just to put this into context, Mike, Flats also sleeps with a sock in his mouth as well.
Your sock. your sock.
Doesn't matter.
as long as it's not clean.
If people want to do Buffalo, that's up to them. That's up to them. I remember when I was at college and them trying to get me to drink a pint of puke and all various things. I'm not going to do that, lads. And I think Ben Evans, who's my mate of mine, said, well, we're going to make you do it. I said, who's going to make me do it? We are. I said, that's not going to happen, Ben, is it? And they said, well, there's 30 of us. I said, there's 30 of you, but I'll just punch the first two. So it's whichever first two want to step up, well, that's fine. And then the rest, the other 28 can kick me in and make me drink a pint of puke. But
Yeah.
It does rely on those first two being
Justin Bunnell and the Chief.
Oh Christ! I mean, I would have done it then. Don't get me wrong; I'm not stupid.
No, but you remind me a bit. You remind me a bit like of Julian White. He played at Bridgend for a long time.
Yeah, yeah.
He played 50 odd times for England, and he liked drinking game like the next guy. But if someone took the piss a little bit, his eyes changed, and it was like, right, your round. No, no, it's not my round. It's your round.
Yeah,
no, you lost the game. No, no, you cheated. It was deliberate cheat, and it was like your round. He's like, what are you going to do about it? Okay, my round. He's like, right, nick it. No. Do that. No. As soon as you tell him to do something, he can't do it. He's like a Staffordshire Bull Terrier. He just does the opposite.
So I'll drink with anybody all day long. That's fine. But don't make me do stuff. Unless, like you said, you are Dale McIntosh, in which case I'll drink it.
Yeah. You do anything.
100%.
Absolutely terrifying.
Hey, listen, Mike, we're going to have to shoot.
All right, Tom. Good luck with your golf today, mate. I know you're playing golf, so...
Yeah, no, thank you, thank
enjoy.
You. Make sure your dad's social distances, all right? I don't want to see him, like...
Oh, God,
having a pint with...
He is a bit too intimate.
With all the other lads down there. I know he runs the show.
He does. Good drinking, my old man.
Yeah, tell him to wear some trousers this time as well, will you?
I've tried. Believe me, mate, I've tried. You should have seen him on the school run.
Hey, cheers, Mike. Really enjoyed that, mate.
Cheers, Flats. Take care, mate. Cheers, Tom.
Hey, ladies.
Cheers, mate. Ta-ra.
Ah, right, Flats. That was Mike Bubbins. You'd love to go for a pint with him. You really
would. I think we're going to, aren't we, after lockdown. I want to go for a pint with him and Steve Spears and ideally Gary Powell.
And Jason Fox. And we'll get Chris Hoy in as well, all right?
Yeah, we'll get them all in. And Barack Obama. We'll get a Barack Obama.
If there's one thing he needs to do, it's become a little bit more technical. He needs to sort his sound out. Don't know where he was speaking
from.
He was in a cave. I think he was in a cave.
Worse than me, boy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like that when someone's worse than me.
He was...
Chris Hoy had to be all perfect, didn't he?
He might have been in Damaragoff Caves. That's probably where he was.
That's where he was. Hey, well done, boy.
Hey, you enjoy your Zoom call now, okay? I know you get excited for him.
Business call.
Yeah.
Got a business call, haven't I? I better put some clothes on. Right, I'm going to go and do it. I'm going to just do a sit down wait before I start.
I'll look out for you in the front of Forbes magazine now with your business call. Right.
Yeah, that'll be it.
See you later. Boy.